The third step for creating a scientific document, carrying out the research and taking notes. The third step is carrying out your research and carefully recording data that will be helpful in writing the related journal article or research document. In some cases, your notes can be organized in a way that is similar to a typical scientific document. When this is done, you simply record your data and experiences and place your notes in a sequence that is similar to a scientific article. For example, when you are setting up the experiment, you can write notes for the materials and methods section of your document. When you are obtaining the results of your experiment, you can take notes for the results section. When you are thinking about your results, you can provide notes for the discussion and conclusion of your scientific document. This technique might make it easier for you to write your document when you have completed your research, and it may also help you write a higher quality and more accurate research paper. The fourth step for creating a scientific document involves evaluating your data and converting it into relevant information. Raw data obtained from experiments and scientific studies generally does not represent meaningful information. However, if you use the technique described under the previous heading, your data will most likely be less raw and more organized in terms of useful information. Regardless of whether or not you use the above technique, you still will have to work on your data. That is, before you write your document, it is necessary to organize and arrange the data into relevant information, which ideally should be done to the highest feasible level. The first step in organizing data into meaningful information is done so you can make sense of your experimental results. The second step involves organizing the data to a still higher level of information so you can write a document that other people will understand. For example, you may have obtained a series of measurements from your experiment, such as changes in the rate of plant growth when the roots were exposed to various chemicals. This can be changed into meaningful information by delineating the impact of the various chemicals on the plants. This would have to be coupled with the exposure time of each plant to a specific chemical. In addition, it would be necessary to provide the normal growth rates of the plants that were used as controls, and compare them with the experimental group. Explanations of why and how the chemicals affected the rate of growth of the plants should be provided. This can involve hypothetical concepts, perhaps suggesting future research, when the actual cause and effect dynamics involved with the change of plant growth has not been proven. All of this would have to eventually be combined into understandable and coherent sentences and paragraphs when you write your paper, which should represent highly organized information and not simply scientific data. Research data can be thought of as the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, and the information, sentences, paragraphs, and completed research document is the assembled puzzle. Another way of understanding the concept presented in the above subheading is to think of a jigsaw puzzle. In the case of a jigsaw puzzle, the data consists of small pieces of cardboard shaped in many different ways, and the organized information is the picture that is seen when the jigsaw puzzle is properly assembled. That is, with a jigsaw puzzle, organizing the data into meaningful information involves assembling the jigsaw puzzle. The same process applies to research data, which first must be organized into a level where you can make sense of it. Then you must further organize it so others can understand it, and eventually you must further organize this information into understandable sentences, paragraphs, and a document that will be accepted by publishers, employers, or instructors. An important note: research data can sometimes be organized a number of ways, resulting in additional interpretations or information. Unlike the jigsaw puzzle, used above as an analogy, research data can sometimes be organized into information in more than one way. A conventional jigsaw puzzle can only be organized into a coherent structure in only one way. Sometimes research data is similar to a set of building blocks, and by arranging the data in different ways, you can obtain different information. This information may represent either additional discoveries or contradictory or alternative interpretations of results. The fifth step for creating a scientific document is to start writing any section you prefer, except for the abstract and title. Usually, the best strategy is to start writing wherever your thought processes produce a flow of words and ideas. For example, you might have a clear focus on words and ideas that relate to the materials section, and in this case, that is where you should start writing. On the other hand, you may have a clear focus on your experimental results, and if this is the case, you should start writing the results section first. When you complete one section, proceed to any other section that produces an easy flow of thoughts, ideas, sentences, and paragraphs. Keep in mind that you can always return to a section to modify it, or complete it, or even rewrite it if necessary. You should not start writing your title or abstract until you have completed your entire document, because they are supposed to represent as precisely as possible the material you have in your paper. Thus, it is not possible to be certain of the final structure and information in your document until you have completed it. Keep in mind that when organizing data into written language, new insights and information can develop that were not apparent before you started to write your document. However, if you feel that you must start writing in sequence, starting from the title and abstract, you may simply have to revise the material you wrote. Starting at the beginning might be quite functional for some individuals, or it might be occasionally sensible for you with certain types of material and documents. Writing the title and abstract first can be a way of outlining or planning an article, at least for some people. If this is the case with you, it is fine, but keep in mind to get a good abstract that accurately delineates what is in the article, it will probably be necessary to revise or even rewrite your title and abstract when you completed your paper. This may not be much of a task, because this will usually involve less than 300 words. If you are really not sure where you want to start when you are writing your document, I recommend that you consider the following sequence. Probably in most cases the best place to start working on your document is in the Methods and Materials section, then proceeding to the Results section, followed by the Discussion and Conclusion. Then write the remaining sections of the document except for the title and abstract in any order you choose: Introduction, Acknowledgements, Literature Cited, and the Appendices. After the above is completed, write the abstract, then create a title. When all this is completed, carefully go over your entire document, and if necessary revise it, so all the sections fit together properly, and the entire text is optimized for readability in the required style of your publishers and readers. How to deal with writer's block and sticking points when writing a scientific document. Writing any type of document from the beginning and proceeding towards the conclusion is not always the best strategy, as explained above. Attempting to write any document from the beginning to the end is likely to contribute to writer's block. That is, when you restrict your writing sequence from the top down, you are likely to reach a sticking point where you cannot find the right words to express your thoughts, or perhaps where you do not have the needed information. When this happens, you can waste many hours or even days before you can resolve the sticking point. This sometimes also leads to procrastination, which probably is the result of the unpleasant feelings when facing a problem that does not appear to have a solution. However, this problem is easily solved, or it never really develops, when you are writing in a non-sequential fashion. When you reach a sticking point with non-sequential writing, you simply start working on a different section of the document and return to the sticking point when you get the right words and/or needed information. Another useful strategy to deal with sticking points is to write some temporary notes in your document by your sticking points. This can involve a couple of sentences, or even one or more paragraphs that is a rough draft, which may be incomplete. When this is done, you will most likely find the right words sooner or later to present your concept clearly. You can also write notes in your document next to a sticking point, indicating the information you must study to resolve the sticking point. Even when the cause of the problem is not missing information, reading the same or similar information from different sources might help you find the right words to express the concept that you are trying to describe in written language. Sometimes, seeing how other authors express similar concepts can help you find the right words to write the material you are working on. Of course, be certain not to use the words of other authors, unless they are in quotation marks, and the original writer is credited. The sixth step in creating a scientific document is to check it over for any last-minute corrections and submit it to your publisher, employer, or instructor. The final step is reading over your document and checking for any last-minute corrections before you submit it. If you are submitting your document to your employer or an executive committee in your place of employment, in-house admission you have completed your work. The same applies to those who are submitting their document to an instructor. Perhaps, in both of these cases, providing some verbal reinforcement of your material might be advisable. This is especially the case for in-house submissions, where the people reading the document may not have an adequate background to understand all of your material. However, if you are submitting your work to potential publishers, you have a challenging task that often results in frustration and rejection of the document. Thus, in this case, your work is far from completed. Even if you eventually succeed in getting a publisher, you will probably have to rewrite at least some, if not all, of your document to meet their publication requirements. Generally, it is quite difficult to get any type of work published, especially in scientific journals. The reason for this is there are a large number of people writing scientific articles, and there is not enough publication space available. Probably there are not even enough readers who would be interested in reading all of the material that is submitted to scientific journals. In addition, many of the papers submitted probably do not represent truly unique research, and are very similar to previous published research. People in the academic and scientific communities are sometimes put in a position where they are more or less forced to write research papers, even if they do not have adequate research to write about. The main interest in writing the paper may be to keep a job, or to advance in a career. Motivations of this type result in a lot of research papers, but not necessarily good scientific studies or good articles. Another factor that makes getting a scientific article published very difficult is most scientific journals do not accept simultaneous submissions. For example, with conventional magazine articles intended for the general public, it is possible to simultaneously submit an article to several dozen publications with the hope that one will accept the article. However, with scientific journals, this is usually not acceptable, probably because it takes a considerable amount of effort to review a scientific article for possible publication in a journal. Thus, it may be necessary to submit a scientific article to a dozen journals before it is published, but each journal might hold the article for several months, if not longer, before they send out a rejection notice. Thus, to have the article reviewed by a dozen journals can take 5 or 10 years, if not longer. This can greatly reduce the chances of getting an article published, unless the research is truly remarkable, or the author is simply lucky, or perhaps has exceptionally good credentials and/or is famous. The above may not even be helpful in many cases, because some scientific journals review articles blindly, where the reviewer does not know the credentials or anything else about the author. Self-publication on the internet is an alternative way of getting scientific documents published. Almost anyone can self-publish a scientific article, or any other type of document, on the internet, for little or no cost. This type of publication makes your article available, at least in theory, to millions of people throughout the world. However, in practice, very few, if any, people will visit a website that is not famous, or connected to a well-known publisher, a university, or major company, unless it is extensively advertised. In addition, there is little or no prestige, which often relates to job opportunities and high salaries associated with work that was self-published on the internet, because anyone can place just about anything on the internet regardless of its validity or quality. In addition, if you self-publish an article on the internet, most scientific journals will not even consider it for publication, because usually they are only interested in material that has never been published. In spite of the disadvantages mentioned above of self-publishing on the internet, it is sometimes quite sensible. For example, if you have an article that you submitted to many journals, with no success in obtaining publication, it might be sensible to self-publish that article on your own website. If you have articles that are interesting, but not suitable for the journals, it would be sensible to publish on the internet. If you do not have adequate funding, credentials, knowledge or experience to engage in formal research, or to get your papers accepted by journals, it makes sense to self-publish on the internet. When you self-publish on the internet, your work can still have some value, when you in effect engage in your own word-of-mouth advertising, and inform potential and actual employers, as well as colleagues about your website. If you are involved in teaching of any kind, your articles may have some value to your students. All of this, of course, will probably not provide the benefits and rewards obtained from successful publications in journals.